Thank you, Dr. Volkman. It sure is good to be a friend of Fairhaven and the folks here and each of you preachers and preachers' wives and all of you folks that just love the Lord and putting God first in your life. It's just an honor for me to be here and speak for a few minutes. I'd like to start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would lead and direct in this message. And then, Lord, we'd look beyond the speaker. Lord, we'd look to Thee, the author and finisher of our faith. And I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to all of our hearts. Give us all something, Lord, that would be good to help us in our Christian life to be what we ought to be for you. And, Lord, encourage us and strengthen us for Jesus' sake and help us to enjoy this time together as God's children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a sustainer's banquet. Each of you know. What is it for? You think about sustaining something. Of course, if you go to the dictionary, you look it up and you find it. A sustainer is somebody, something that holds the foundation up, sustains the superstructure. Last November, I was here at the youth conference and noticed that you had a bunch of holes dug all around this building, and the forms were made for to pour some piers and some foundation piers to hold up this building that you're remodeling here. And I don't know exactly how many yards of concrete that you poured underneath the ground out around this building, but I'm sure it's hundreds and hundreds of yards of concrete that's poured, cement poured in these piers. And of course, after they're poured, then a little bolt sticking up out of the top, and you cover everything else up. And by the time it's all done, no one ever sees that foundation. No one ever sees those piers and all the hundreds of yards of cement and concrete that's under the ground. No one ever sees that. Of course, a sustainer, something that sustains things, is to hold things up and keep it from falling down, to support it, to keep it from sinking into despondence, and to maintain and to keep alive. And of course, if you went to the Bible and you looked through the Word of God, you would find that there's example after example after example in the Bible of things that God used to sustain His men throughout history. And one of the greatest examples, and I'm sure it's going through the minds of many of you right now, is Aaron and Hur in the Old Testament when they helped Moses and when they held up his arms. I'm sure that as Moses was out there leading the children of Israel and they were into that battle, that they began to... Moses was standing and had his arms held up. But after a period of time, they began to get heavy and began to sink down. And he couldn't hold them up anymore. And the Israelites started losing. And he would get some more strength and push them back up again. And they would start winning again. And Aaron and Hur saw what was happening. And they came over and said, we can't let that happen. And they said, here, Moses, sit down on this rock. And had him sit down. And one got on one side and one got on the other side. And they held his arms up until they won the battle. And boy, what an exciting thing that was. Moses couldn't have done it without Aaron and Hur helping him. As godly a man as he was and as much strength as he had, he couldn't have done it without the help of those sustainers there beside him, helping, holding up his arms like that. And I know that as Brother Vogelin goes around the country, people say, Brother Vogelin, what a great school you have. How God's blessed you. Oh, what a great man of God you are. And and they give him compliment after compliment after compliment. But Brother Vogelin couldn't do nearly what he has done for God without sustainers like you that hold his arms up and serve God, and you're faithful and you stand behind him and help him to do what God has asked him to do. You go on through the Bible and you find that God used manna to sustain the Israelites. It says in the book of Exodus, it says, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came into the borders of the land of Canaan. And then it says in Nehemiah 9:21, yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. God used manna to sustain the children of Israel. We go on through the Bible and we can see that God used David's mighty men to stand with him. And we talk about David being a man after God's own heart. And we see David do all kinds of exciting things in the Bible. But we also can see that God used these mighty men to help David through difficulties and problems in his life. I recall a scripture that I wrote down here in 2 Samuel 16:6, and it says, "And he cast stones at David." That's Shimei it's talking about. "And all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left." They were the ones that gave David the strength to say, "No, just let him alone. Let him alone." If he hadn't had his mighty men, I wonder if David would have been able to do that. But he had his mighty men there that gave him the strength in that time. We look in the New Testament, we find the Apostle Paul. What a great man he was, of Paul and Barnabas, that served the Lord faithfully. But we find also that there's mentioned Barsabbas that helped him, and Silas that helped him. In Acts 15:22 it says, "Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren." Paul did not stand all by himself. Oh, what a great man he was. And oh, how God used Paul. And we say, man, there never was a missionary like the Apostle Paul. What a great man. But he couldn't have done what he did without people that helped him through the times that he lived. Paul and Silas, it says, had Achenus and Stephanus and Fortunatus. In 1 Corinthians 16:17 says, "I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied." Romans 16:9 it says, "Salute Urbane, our helper in the Lord." In Romans 16:3 it says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." Paul had helpers. He couldn't have done what he did without helpers. Brother Vogelin can't do what he does without helpers. You and I, those of you who are pastors out here, can't do what we do without other individuals that are helping us in our lives. We go through the Bible and we look and we find Elijah. Elijah was a great man of God. And oh, man, how you look at his life and you think, wow, what a great man of God. Oh, if I just had a little portion of the blessing of God upon my life that he had on his, as he prayed down fire from heaven, and all the different things that you're aware of and that you know of. But God used a raven to bring him food and to help him. And after the brook dried up, he sent him to Zarephath. "Go to that widow lady." Man, that lady was out of food already, just going to get a little bit more and die. It says, "I have commanded a woman there, a widow there, to sustain thee." And that widow lady helped Elijah in that time that he needed help. Oh, one time Elijah, he even got discouraged and he thought he was the only one. He said, "Man, I'm the only one left." And God said, "No, there's 7,000 more that have not bowed their knee to Baal." And just a little bit time after that, Elijah is on a trip somewhere and he goes by a field and finds Elisha out there and says, "Elisha, come and follow me." That was right after he found out there were 7,000. Maybe he went out to find some of those 7,000. And God used Elisha to help Elijah in the last portion of his life. Sustainers. Sustainers. You know, sometimes those who have been sustained by others lose their worthiness to be sustained. And sustainers should recognize this. I recall in my life, there was a college years ago, back in the 70s, that my church in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, supported monthly. A pretty good amount that we supported monthly. I heard some things about this college, and I would tell you which college it is, but I wouldn't want to say that it's in Springfield, Missouri, or anything like that, you know. But there were some negative things coming out about that school, and I heard about them, and I said, "Man, I've got to find out if these things are right." And so I made a trip all the way from Sheboygan, Wisconsin, all the way down to Springfield, Missouri. And I sat down with the leaders of that school and I said, "I've heard about this, and I've heard about this, and I've heard about this, and I've heard about this. What about it?" And he said, "Oh, those are legitimate concerns, and we're going to address those, and we're going to take care of them." And I said, "I'll give you 3 months. If you don't take care of them, I'm dropping my support." And in 3 months, they hadn't done a cotton-picking thing about it, and I dropped my support. And there were other preachers up in the state of Wisconsin that agreed with me and agreed with my stand, but they were too loyal to the school to drop their support, and even today are still supporting that school that's not worth 2 cents anymore. Now, folks, Fairhaven Baptist College is a great college. And they have great standards. And I could go on and on and on and tell you about the great things about Fairhaven Baptist College. But I'll tell you one thing. Brother Vogelin drops his standards. Tomorrow I drop my support.
Amen.
If it goes to the devil, I'm through with it.
Amen.
And folks, I'm not loyal to a school. I'm loyal to God.
Amen.
And that's the way we all ought to be. Loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. Colleges many times lose their worthiness to be supported, and preachers need to be aware of that. Do you know that Harvard and Yale, they were great colleges at one time to train preachers and so on, but not worthy anymore of support. Dallas Theological Seminary was a great school at one time, and not anymore. Now, there also are men that used to be worth sustaining. But many times, not anymore. You look in the Bible and you find Samson. He was once a great judge, but he didn't even know. He got so away from God that he didn't even know that the Spirit of God had departed from him. God gave up on him. Said, I'm through with you. There are others in the New Testament that said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Sometimes a church goes to the place to where it's not worthy to be sustained anymore. They're all over the country. Used to be great churches. Used to have great standards. Used to have the right kind of music in their church. And that seems to be the first thing to go in churches is their music. They start thinking they've got to be like these charismatic churches and things like that. And they've got to have tambourines and drums on the platform. And they've got to get this contemporary junk going and things like that. And they ruin their church. Not worthy to be sustained anymore. I think about a sustainer and I think about my own life and think about what has sustained me over the years. Most of you, of course, obviously know that there's something wrong with me. I wouldn't have had to have a broken back in 4 places and 2 broken wrists and a concussion for you to even recognize that, I'm sure. But there are some things physically wrong with me because I fell off this scaffold, and I've been up and down that scaffold thousands of times over the years, and scaffolds and on high things, and just one time missed a handle or something and ended up on the floor and ended up in this kind of shape. And of course, my wife didn't know whether I was going to live or die, and 2 or 3 days passed and was in rough shape for a little bit, and boy, God is good. But over that time, what has sustained me? What has sustained me? Several things, and I want to give you a few. Number one, my wife. See, Brother Bishop back there, he has my Donna. I mean, he has his Donna. And I have my Becky. Oh, I'll tell you what. Some of you, maybe you've had different things happen to you, some of you fellows, and your wife has stuck by you and helped you. But oh, I'll tell you, her price is far above rubies. She helped me when I couldn't feed myself. She helped me through trouble. Oh, what a precious lady she is. And I think many times our wives get too little credit. And I want you to know publicly that I appreciate her, and she sustained me through this difficulty that I've gone through. Another thing that sustained me, my children. My children. One of the reasons that I don't want to get backslidden, folks, and get away from God, because I don't want to disappoint my dear wife. Another reason I don't want to get backslidden and get away from God is I don't want to disappoint my children. I want my children to always be able to look up to their daddy and say, "That's my daddy," and be proud of me. As some of you, Brother Jeff mentioned a minute ago about my son David started a church there in Maryland, in Hunt Valley, Maryland, just last Sunday was his first Sunday. And they have worked their heads off there. And through Brother Randy Starr's church, they sent him out and he started that church. And I'm happy to report that Sunday morning yesterday, they had 75 Sunday morning, their first day. And had almost an $1,800 offering yesterday, their first Sunday. And I could tell you more about it, you know, but listen, I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want him to have to get up someday and say, you know, my dad used to be a good preacher. I don't want him to say that. I'd like one day for him to say, you know, my dad preached right up to the end. He's faithful to God right to the end. That's what I want him to say. And that helps sustain me. Another thing that sustains me is my church family. My church family there in Lyons, New York. And I don't want to break their heart. And I don't want them to see a backslidden preacher. I don't want them to lose faith by and slip away from God themselves by seeing me do or act in some way that I ought not to act. And many, whenever I fell, there were many from my churches that I had pastored over the years that called me up on the telephone long distance from different states that I had pastored in, wanted to know how I was and helped sustain me. I have a stack of get well cards at home like that. Some of you sent some and whatever, and that sustained me and that helped me in that difficult time. Another thing that sustains me is my preacher brethren. I don't want, Brother Vogel, I don't want you to ever get a message someday. Brother Bosco blew it. Brother Bosco messed up. I don't want you to ever hear that. And that's a help to me because that helps me that I don't want him to ever have to say that, hear that, or ever have to say that. And so there's a lot of things that can sustain us. But you know what? There are times when you need sustain. The Apostle Paul needed help. Moses needed help. I need help. None of us are an entity unto ourselves. We all need help. We all need sustained. We all need encouragement. And so, since you need help and you need sustained, in trying times, what has sustained God's people? A blessing from God sometimes in just the nick of time sustains you. It helps you. Just in the nick of time. I read in the Bible here about James was martyred. In Acts chapter 12 it says, "Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword." Well, James went on to a better place. But there were a bunch of Christians left there. A bunch of saved people left there. Herod said, "Hey, this was fun. They liked that. I'm going to get another one." And so he goes out and arrests Peter. Puts him in jail. Can't you just picture the church of God, the Christian people there that are gathered in the house there and they're praying? They say, "Oh God, save Peter, but save us too. I mean, they're going to get Peter and then they're going to come and kill us. And oh Lord, we don't know what to do. Save Peter. And oh Lord, they're going to get us. And Lord, save Peter. Save his life. And oh, they're going to get us." And they're praying. And then God lets Peter out of prison. And he comes and knocks on the door. And you know the story. And, I mean, they're worried for their life and they're scared to death. And the Apostle Peter was about ready to be killed by Herod. And there he knocks on the door. Don't you think that was an encouragement to all those Christians? They needed that right at that time. And I believe that's why that God spared the life of the Apostle Peter is because those Christians needed that to continue on, keeping on for God. And so God gave them a blessing right at the last minute. Paul, at the end of his life, it says he kept the faith. In 2 Timothy, it says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing." So Paul, right at the end of his life, and said that, and you know, that's an encouragement to me to see that, hey, he went through all the things he did, and he made it. I can go through a little bit more. Hope I don't have to fall off another scaffold, but I can go through a little more for the Lord. I can still be faithful to God another day. In Psalm chapter number 30, verse 10, it says, "Hear, O Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, be Thou my helper." Our greatest sustainer is God. Be thou my helper. Because God's grace is sufficient. And whether you have what you feel is a sustainer for you or not, God said He'll never leave you and never forsake you. So He'll always be with you. And He is your sustainer. He says in Psalm 54:4, "Behold, God is my helper." He says in Hebrews 13:6, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Psalm 3, verse number 5 says, "I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me." Let me say that Fairhaven Baptist College is worth continuing to sustain. It's a great school. And I encourage you and challenge you to keep sustaining Fairhaven Baptist College. May the Lord bless you.